Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hi, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we're going to be talking about the Law of Attraction and the 10-Minute Inventory. Woo-hoo! We're going to be looking at the Cafe Book Club. We're right in the middle of Passion, Spirit, and Purpose by Anna Weber. And, you know, I just, one thing I realized today, and I would love to hear my my co-host, Miss Amy's, Amy Frost's opinion on all this, it's, I'm kind of getting to a point in the book where we were talking at the beginning with chapters 1 and 2 of the Doax formula and the ABC formulas that she's got going on. But some of these chapters are really very lovely and just being able to take a concept and kind of, you know, really be with that. So it's almost like, you know, I almost want to encourage people that, you know, if you haven't picked up the book already, that all these, some of these chapters are so well contained, but, you know, they totally complement one another, each other. But there's such a good takeaway from each of these chapters that really, I mean, it's one of those things that you can read it in the moment and be able to just walk through your day with just that one concept. And I think it really helps you to just look at your life and look at the world from just a very fresh perspective. And, you know, just like with the Law of Attraction, attracting the things that you really want to be happening in your life and knowing that it can be something that, you know, Anna would, I totally agree with us about, you know, it's those choices that you're making in each moment that really can make your life better and just more, that much more effective and feeling like you're on your path and your purpose. Just, you know, do you feel like some of these are self-contained enough that yes, we're reading the book, but yet some of these are just such lovely little lessons, I guess, or spiritual stories that really help you to be able to just have a very sweet little takeaway?
Well, I think she has an interesting mix of pragmatic and maybe esoteric, a little bit of open-endedness. So mm-hmm. I believe each time that you looked at a chapter, depending on where you were, you could look at it differently. So I think, yeah, you know, she keeps it open enough for you to do that and have some process with it. And so that's why with each chapter, and I think that's important for us anyways, for people not just to have information and go, oh, that's interesting, but how do you run it through experience? How do you use it and turn it into wisdom in your life? And I think that's one of the common threads that, you know, our work together is about is, all right, we're going to dance with different things, but how does that affect me now? And how does it help me have the life that I want to have? And, you know, the Law of Attraction. So I'm kind of looking at that a little bit. What I believe happens as you get clearer and clearer and do your work and ask these questions, get clearer to your authentic self, you attract what's for your highest good. It may not be what you think it is. So what starts happening, and I think that's part of what's going on in this book, is going to be showing us that with some of these questions. But then another really great book is When Prayers Aren't Answered or The Way That We Think We're Supposed To, is a subtitle by John Welshen. And I think part of that is prayers are answered in the way that is for your highest good and the highest good of all. But it may not look like things you're asking for. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was listening to a motivational speaker the other day, and she talked about that. She talked about, you know, she went to get an eye exam, and she thought she had 20/20 vision, and then once she got her x-ray, you know, her examination back, they were like, oh, no, not really. You've kind of adapted your perspective to where you are now, and it's not 20/20. It's more like 60. 60%, and she was like, oh my gosh, really? You know, so it's, you know, we modify with our perspectives. You know, we slowly have these things that change on us, and we think, oh no, it's still the same, but no, it hasn't. It's been changing, just because, you know, that's one thing we can always count on in life is changing. You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, and just, you know, if we're talking about the Law of Attraction, I think one of the great chapters that we've already gone over is living. You know, it's the power of the question of why. And to me, why was such a really great, you know, it really surprised me because it was, you know, really talking about that it's such a powerful question that really can change your life in the way that you look at things and ask yourself, you know, what's going on with everything. And I think, you know, it goes right along with what you're saying. I mean, you know, with the power of attraction, it's being able to you know, work tonight. We're going to talk about, you know, the 10 minutes for do a 10 minute inventory for yourself every week, and how that really can just realign you with your purpose. And then you can have dramatic changes because you're being able to step back a little bit and say, what's really going on here? Instead of kind of being an automatic, you know, you pause, you take an inventory on that, and then figure out, you know, do I need a, you know, a course change here to be able to be, you know, modifying something, or even going to stopping and going a different direction. You know, that's just some of these wonderful things that are happening. So just a real quick review, you know, last episode was TC317. And, you know, we really talked about the ABCs of desires, and that's attraction, belief, and creating. And if you, boy, if you take that into the ABCs of just your life and being able to look at that, it really can help you to just, like, one of the things I think that I've really been being just sweetly, you know, coming back to me time and time again this week is just being able to be in stillness. I keep getting that, you know, that kind of sense of things of like, let me just slow down and be still for a second here. I don't have to make, you know, I don't have to react. I can respond. And we talked about that last week. So let me just be in the stillness for a second and feel, you know, feel into what I want to do or what I need to do, as opposed to just thinking I have to just do something really quickly. You know, it's that instant gratification or instant response of something to feel like I'm really making a move, when sometimes making the move is just, you know, choosing to pause for a second. And just, you know, just record what we're talking about tonight, being able to take that inventory. So we had a couple experiences that Amy had invited us to do. And if you go to the transformation-cafe.com, she's done a lovely job of, you know, as, you know, giving us some things to be looking at. And Anna's really good about that, you know, just inviting us to do, be able to dance in something for a little bit. You know, here's an idea. Let me write about it. Or let me, you know, one of the fun things that we had that was an invitation to do was to, you know, create a dream board or vision board. And, you know, what would that look like? So Amy, anything with the last week's, you know, different experiences that you might want to share?
Well, I think it's important. What I love about what we're creating here, and Andy is such a vital part of this, the beautiful work that he does with pictures and how he sets it up for you to be able to really do the hard work in an easy way. So go back and look at, certainly from the very beginning, but certainly look at last week, this beautiful picture he did created with a dream board that can really get your juices flowing, I think, and get you started. So I think that's the important part. How do you dance with that? So look at each week and know that you could go back to it. You know, like this week, we have the 8 chapters, and I think any one of them and the questions that we're posing for you, you could spend the whole week on. So know that, okay, I get to go back and know that this yummy work is never over. Like you're saying, we're always changing, and every time you go back, you find something new. So like as simple as let's dive into chapter 8, and she, you know, again, you'd said before, we think we're doing one thing, and we end up doing something entirely different. She, the lead of this chapter is learn, grow, and live. And really, to me, the heart of it, and see what, you know, came to you, and that's part of what I love about a book club, is I could get something entirely different from this than you could. But she talks about, really, to me, about, are you being a leader? But the question she poses in this chapter is the very last sentence is, what's the first step you can take to turn on your own inner light? But she's talked mostly in this chapter about being a leader. So I thought that was really fascinating.
Yeah, and my takeaway was, you know, she talks about that we always can come from this place of being in a place where you're willing to be a learner, being able to be learning and always knowing that I'm becoming wiser with all the experiences that I'm having, that, you know, journey is a good judgment. She talked about that, and being able to have, you know, with each experience that I have, I'm having a different perspective that comes through. And that really invites the traveling mind, you know, where we can learn new things, and that, you know, that gives us an opportunity to be able to see from that different perspective, and it influences our choices, our new choices, because, you know, as I've traveled, you know, I'm different. My choices can be different in the way that I do that. And, you know, yeah, she did a really great job talking about, you know, there's this old mindset about, you know, a leader should know everything and the leader's always right. It kind of, to me, it's almost sounds like a parental kind of model about, you know, don't challenge my choices or whatever, because I'm the leader. And Anna really loves to come from the perspective of like, we all have something here that we can be contributing to the, you know, to having everything be that much more successful, that much more forward thinking, and to be limiting it to just my ideas and what's going on really limits my, you know, my business and then the working relationship that we can have for one another. And I firmly believe in that as well with my business, that I know if we have things coming up, I sit down with my, you know, my staff and my helpers, and I just say, you know, these are things that we're going to be coming up with you guys. Any questions, any ideas, anything, any way you think we might want to be move forward with these things. And there'll always be some new way or some perspective that you know, we hadn't thought of before, and where it can make it easier or more exciting or that much more of a better product for my customers, to have something that we know we're all putting, being able to bring our best to the table and having that be something that's really good. It's reminding me of, there's a really great movie out right now that's called Kubo. And that's K-U-B-O. And it's a stop animation along with regular animation. And boy, they were using every tool that's out there for creativity right now when it comes to creating things with animation and stop motion. And if you go to the YouTubes and actually look at the way this thing was created, what's really cool with this is an up-and-coming a studio that they go from movie to movie to movie, and they've been high awards, Academy Awards, just different kinds of awards that they're doing. But what's really lovely about the studio is that they go from project to project, and they're taking everything that they're learning and bringing it into the next thing that they're doing. And they want to challenge themselves to just do something they've never done before, and working with different departments and having it be something visually stunning in a way that they've never done it before. And I just think that's such a great model of how people can be working together, even though they all have these different crafts and talents and things that they're doing. They're all willing to, you know, exchange those and work in just new ways and pushing each other to just having it that much more of a better product that they can be excited about. And it just you know, makes everybody just love what they do, because it's just like, how are we going to solve this problem, or how's it going to look on film? And I just think it's a really good model of, you know, how models of business are really changing in the world. So that's, you know, goes right along with the leadership and you know, what can we all bring to the table and have it be that much more exciting for everybody. So that's about learning and growing and feeling alive. You know, that's with this passion and purpose and spirit working, you know, side by side with each other. So just, you know, all of that goes hand in hand with each other. So is there, what kind of an exercise did you see with that one, Amy, for learn, grow, and live? So, you know, we're talking about the chapter 8. Amy, was there an exercise that went with chapter 8?
Yeah, I think it's really important that you look at where are you leading now, and what mm-hmm. where might you step into leadership in a new place or even in a new way. So I think there's lots of opportunities. If you've done, don't be doing what you've always done. Find new places to lead and new ways to lead. And then again, that last question I really love. What's the first step you can take to turn on your own inner light? And I love the question. I don't think most people have ever thought about it.
I don't think most people have even thought about that either. And, you know, what is my light? To me, light's your purpose in the way that you just see people light up, or you just feel really good about what you're doing.
Well, I mean, think from my own contention is that we have an internal pilot light that never goes out. It's the mm-hmm. illusion that it's gone out. So it's really remembering, no, really, I am here for a purpose, that I am love, basically, right? And I'm here mm-hmm. to live that in service somehow. That doesn't mean you don't make money doing what you do. I would just say that, you know, a lot of times people can make money through service. It's a matter of how you do it, not necessarily what you do. So, So chapter 9, the title of this is Freedom Connecting the Dots. But really what it comes down to is, are you willing to have a positive attitude and willing to shift your thought patterns?
Yeah, and you know, that really goes into the whole, because it talks about how the universe has a magnetic field, and so does our life. And if you look at physics, our way that things are getting attracted is a little bit different. So with the law of attraction, there's that a positive attracting and a positive, and having it to where we can open up to new experiences and thoughts and patterns, and being able to just really come from our purpose and finding the joy in what we're doing and following our purpose. You know, one of the things that she says, you know, make a list of ways that you can be able to move through that. And I thought of, you know, how many people have really gotten into making bucket lists. of things they want to do, you know, with their life. And I've heard a lot of younger people. I mean, we're talking, you know, young teenagers that say, oh, that's on my bucket list. My daughter, Katie, and I, we had gone to a cosplay convention this last weekend, and I was walking around, and I heard at least three or four younger people, you know, like I said, in their young teens just say, oh, that's on my bucket list. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. You're a young teenager and you have a bucket list. That's pretty amazing considering, you know, we think of it as, you know, people who are older and, you know, they may have health issues and things like that and things that they want to be able to do. So I think that's really cool, being able to have a bucket list at any age. I hadn't really thought about that before, you know, and along with that, too, is, you know, even the bucket list, it's coming from that whole thing about, you know, things that I'm grateful for, you know, that wonderful practice of listing five things a day that I'm grateful for. You know, I go to bed with that. I wake up with that. Even before I open my eyes, I think of five things that I'm grateful for. And boy, that's, to me, that's just so easy. It's just not even a hard, you know, I probably could do 20 easy, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I can, my body feels good. It feels good to be knowing that I got a restful sleep. Just tons of things, all kinds of things that we can be grateful for. And one thing that Anna, I like that she talks about in this chapter too, as in following your passion, she's like using all your senses, you know, see new things, taste new things, you know, be willing to go and hear new things, you know, whether it's music or nature or whatever. It's really coming from that whole thing of that, you know, you're inviting yourself to have these new wonderful experiences. And as you invite yourself to have those kinds of things, you're going to be claiming them, and the universe is like, you're saying yes to those things. So the universe will bring you more of those wonderful experiences. So that's kind of what the law of attraction is all about. It's really coming from that. But I think part of it is like, these are things that I'm enjoying, and not like you've got to hold on to it. You've got to be able to let that go, knowing that it can come back to you. One of the other things that came to me that I was really noticing this week was just these wonderful stories about people that had talked about 10 years ago, I had a dream of, you know, going to this hotel and how wonderful it would be when I got there. And I thought, gosh, someday I'm going to do that. And then it would come true. It would take them 10 years to have that dream come true, but it did come true. So it's like, you know, sometimes we can give things timelines, but just like Amy's saying, you know, sometimes you can't know what's in store for you when it comes to like, you know, this is what I want. But when it comes to being able to have that timeline or whatever, it's allowing the universe to have that flow that brings it to you at the proper time and the proper place, and just having it being that much more than you could have ever imagined. Because when you let it go and have it come back in the way that it really can just serve you in your highest purpose, boy, it can just knock your socks off. And just thinking, man, I didn't think it would even be anything like that. This is just so amazing, right? To have that kind of an experience to go with that. So, Amy, anything you want to add with that?
Well, I think part of that is opening up. Like, I went to Sedona with some close friends of ours. It was our anniversary this weekend. They came from Santa Fe. We came from Vegas. And my friend Eileen, she travels quite a bit, but her husband doesn't really. But he came and really opened himself to some things that he wouldn't normally open himself up to. And it kind of expanded their relationship a little bit, and certainly the relationship with the four of us. And they committed to doing more traveling. And I know my husband, I've known him, geez, 19 years. And when I first met him, he never tried sushi. And he's like, So I said, well, you know, let's just go try it. If you don't like it, then we never do it again. Now it's his favorite food. But, you know, 19 years ago, it was like, oh, my God, that's really weird. He's from back east. So it was like, what the heck? That wasn't very popular then. But how would he know, right? And there maybe there's a new best favorite, you know, that will come forward. But it's always being open and trying different things. And so, well, maybe there is something that I didn't know here.
Yeah, he's even learned how to make it. Didn't he go to a cooking class or something that taught you how to make sushi?
No, I signed up to send him to learn how to make sushi.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
Hello.
So what happens, you get married, and you're like, oh, honey, by the way, you're going to go make sushi. Okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. I bought this class for you.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, chapter 10, it's your metaphorical grocery bag. I really like this chapter, too, because she talks about, we're getting into the, you know, the 10 minutes a week of inventory. And it all really starts when, you know, she says, you're at the grocery store and, you know, you go to the checkout. And how did all these extra things get into your grocery cart? Oh, my gosh. How does this happen? You know, something's on sale or whatever. It's just that impulse buy by the time you look at it. And I know for me personally, you know, if I've got my kids with me, boy, I got a lot more in my cart than I planned on, you know, even though I've, you know, training them, you know, if it's not on sale, we're not buying it. So, you know, my kids are like, it's on sale. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, you've got that along too. It's, you know, the little spiritual guides that are all of a sudden something gets into your cart. So, you know, she talks about, you know, taking inventory with the parts of your life, you know, look at your physical, look at your mental, emotional and spiritual lives, you know, and then, you know, what's really working and what's not, because sometimes you've overburdened yourself with too many activities and maybe one certain area. Amy's got a really great exercise where you draw a circle and then you put, Amy, you want to talk about that exercise about, you know, where you are with the different quadrants of your life?
I'm not sure exactly which exercise you're talking about.
Interesting. Don't you put dots near the center? If you're close to it, you put it near the center. And if you're not, you're far away. And then you connect them all. And if you're not really in a circle, you got it all over the place. It kind of gives you an idea of where you are with that.
That's what, well, I guess, the wheel exercise you could, that you would say, we're looking at the different parts of your life. And I'm kind of, another way for me would be more looking at your friends and your family and your faith and your fitness, your finances, what's going on in your career, how are you contributing to the world, and more kind of looking maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being I'm really like that, 1 being nah, not so much, kind of looking at all of those different areas in your life and saying, okay, and sometimes, like when I'm, you know, in the next relationship, next chapter, we're going to talk about relationship. When I was working full-time and going to school at night pretty much full-time, in my early 20s, I really wasn't able to have a relationship. And so my relationship, what I would have to say, was a very, you know, almost a negative number. But I was okay with that because those other things were really important. And then as I moved later in my life, relationship became more important. So I think it's good to do the trap line, look at all the different areas in your life and say, okay, are they where I want them to be? Knowing that not all areas in your life can be 10. I think you can have it all. You just can't have it all at the same time.
People are like, what?
Right. Right. There are times when, you know, okay, it's Mother's Day. How much time are you on fitness? It's Mother's Day.
Well, I get a lot of fitness because I'm running around like a crazy girl. I'm not working out in the gym, but I am working out. So, you know, it's a different
kind of
fitness.
Well, you understand what I'm saying. It's like, you know, yeah. There's times when you have to say, okay, you know, Yeah, maybe I shouldn't be eating those donuts that the workers are bringing in or my clients are bringing in. But right now, I'm just trying to survive. So
right.
Eating
you know, that donut sure is talking to me. Okay.
Right. So, that's what I'm saying. Just going, okay, it's a 5 right now. But once I get through this, I'm going to do a better job of it. So not judging yourself. Yeah. So I think that's the trick, is always doing that evaluation, but doing it in a way where you're kind to yourself.
Yeah, that's one of the really one important things that I wanted to stress with this chapter with the grocery bag. It's like, you know, doing that inventory and taking everything out and looking at it, but just really not being hard on yourself. Because, I mean, you have to remind yourself, like you said, you've got challenges at work, you've got challenges at home. It's like I'm doing the best I can with what I've got on my plate right now. And, you know, hopefully you've got yourself on, you know, as a part of that, you know, whatever's in the bag, you know, you're making sure that there is some you time. Because, I mean, if you don't have that, then, you know, everything else really will suffer. And we've talked about that with other books as well, with Cuddy book, and then also with Elizabeth Gilbert's book. There was always something within that book about, you know, being able to have personal time so that it can really be something that flows over into other parts of your life with your relationships and just the work that you do and your sense of purpose. You really just have to have that with everything. So, you know, making sure that you've got all that. So, but one thing I wanted to really talk about too, you know, it's like this 10 minutes a week for the inventory. It can really give you, you know, and, you know, make a time every week that you do that. You know, maybe it's on a Sunday afternoon or maybe it's, you know, Saturday morning once you've got up and you have a little bit extra time. It's a day when you have a little bit slower rhythm and things like that. So you can allow yourself, you know, if you're commuting, maybe if you're on a train or a bus or something like that, you know, you have a certain day a week that you can, you know, stop and be able to take a look at yourself and, you know, take those 10 minutes. So sometimes it's just like, you know, I have a little downtime and I'm going to make sure that that's the time that I do it every week. And it's amazing when you do make it a regular thing and you commit to that day or time or whatever, that things come up or you just say, oh, this is when I'm going to be having more clarity with that. Reminds me of Tony Robbins. A long, long time ago, one time he was traveling when he first started doing all of his lecturing and stuff like that. And he was going through this, he was on this really long train in Russia. And he wound up being on the train for like 4 or 5 hours. And he just wrote all these things that he wanted to do with his life. And he said that that was one of the best things that could possibly have happened to him because he didn't have anywhere else to go. He didn't have anything else to do. And he just sat and he created that for himself. And he said he was amazed because he would go back and look at the things that he had written down. And, you know, and it took maybe like we're talking about, you know, it could have been, you know, months or years that all these things came to fruition. But he said pretty much everything that he had written down in some way had come true for him in the way that he wanted to be able to create things in his life. Because he was able to just focus and prepare and get clear about what it was he wanted. You know, it's just like going to a restaurant and knowing that, you know, I'm going to sit down and look at the menu, and until I order, I'm not really going to get anything. I have to be able to say what I want and how I want it, and then wait for it to come. You know, just like this, you know, with, and it comes with the law of attraction. You know, I place my order, and then I trust that the kitchen's going to get it right and bring it back to me. You know, like, ooh, this is, you know, it's more delicious than I thought it was going to be, so that's cool.
Well, coming from the coaching model, what I have people look at each of these different areas in their life and say, in 6 months from now, what do you want your relationship to be, your finances to be, your fitness to be, whatever it is, 6 months from today, what do you want that to look like? And then I have every Sunday, have them go and say, what are you going to do in the area of fitness this week? What are you going to do in the area of your career? What one step that you're willing to commit to in all those different areas. So you have that circle, right? And you're working on each part of it. But what I find is people think they want something and then they start walking towards it and realize, no, that really isn't it. But they don't know that until they commit and start walking towards it. And what I say, just because you think you want it and you committed and you started walking doesn't mean you can't change your mind, because you learned maybe that ain't it that way.
And that's huge to find out that, you know, I thought it was something I wanted, and now I can change my mind. You know, that's one thing that a lot of people can, you know, it's like giving everybody, you know, we all, Amy and I give you permission to change your mind. Because there's just to be so many people out there just saying, well, I committed to this thing and now I'm stuck. No, you're never stuck. It's like in every moment you can make it, it's like saying, you know, just like we were talking about before, you know, I can modify that. I can change that into, you know, what makes sense for me now. You know, that's all I knew now. And now I know a different, you know, way of being able to do that. You know, it was my traveling mind. My traveling mind has shown me a new way of it, because I've traveled on past that location or that spot on my map. And now I have a different perspective, or, you know, maybe I wanted to travel in a different direction. You know, I got to the city and then I looked the other direction. And I said, that looks good. I want to go that way. You know, that's good.
Well, and so, you have to be careful. There are a lot of people who just change things because they get tired or bored and they're not willing to do the work. So there's also that. So you got to be really honest with yourself. That's why asking these questions and doing these evaluations is important. I know people, they're always looking for the new, best, great thing. And by that, they never have really good relationships or careers, because they never do the work to really have that, you know, that solid relationship, that solid career. They're always looking for the new shiny object. And then you do that, you never hit mastery, and you never have the depth of relationship. So there's that balance.
Right. So just encouraging everybody to go through some, you know, these different exercises that we're offering for all the different chapters, and, you know, just giving yourself a few minutes to just walk through these things to see what comes up for you. Because I'm sure some of them could be, you know, a lot of ahas. And, you know, I love how on a Close This Chapter show, we dress life up and life dresses us as well. So, you know, she talks about how great it is to just kind of dress up just because you can, and being able to celebrate life and celebrate yourself. And, you know, it's, you know, studies have shown when people dress up a little bit more, how that really changes your whole perspective and just really can just lift your light. Here we're talking about the light and our, the way that we shine for people. Cause like, you know, when we look good and we feel good about ourselves, it's definitely something that transfers onto other people. So chapter 11 is called The Cautionary Tale, and it's a surprising ending. And it's about this man and woman that actually lived in the back of one of Anna's homes that she had, a young couple that wound up having a young child, and both of them had to work. And as Amy was sharing before, they because of the strains of being able to work and not really making enough time for one another, because they were trying to, you know, make a living as a family, they wound up suffering with the marriage. But what really came out of that was they realized what they really wanted to be. Mark, the character Mark, the husband, decided, you know, really recognized that he wanted to be a contractor. And the mom, Antonia, she recognized, and she actually had a dream that three or four nights in a row showing her that she could be a psychologist counselor. And she wound up going to school and being able to make that happen. So it's just these things that, you know, you think it's going to go one direction, but it goes another way. But it really can make you feel fulfilled. And knowing that as we grow as people, and, you know, they both are really great parents to the child, but yet they learned that they could be able to just allow themselves to be growing and be in a relationship, you know, as parents instead of being, you know, husband and wife with the connection that they had. So anything on that, Amy, you want to share?
I think it's just really looking at your relationships and, you know, are you really, you know, paying attention to them and giving them what they need? And then last but not least, because we're rounding third here, chapter 12 to me is really about, can you really accept yourself? And ultimately, I really would want you to unconditionally love yourself. And I think the more that you can unconditionally love yourself, and that also means really being honest with yourself too, you know, the more that you can do that, the better life you're going to have. And so, and really looking at that, how kind am I to myself and how honest am I to myself? Am I jumping from one thing to another, not being hurtful to yourself, but going, am I giving things enough time? So I think there's a lot of really good ways to look at this week for all of us.
Yeah, so again, all the exercises will be a part of the transformation-cafe.com. If you have not gotten the book and you'd love to get that, you can go to our store at our website as well, and that'll be available for you guys. And next week, we're going to be talking about, you know, planning for the terrific tomorrow and hearing our inner voice and being able to embrace the unknown with a new perspective. So just some really great themes that are going to be coming up. So love your questions, comments, anything you guys would like to be sharing, and always joining us here at the cafe. We really want to thank you for that. And why thank you, Miss Amy. We'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.